Today's shiur is Masechta Basra, Daf Chaf Aleph. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Chanus Shebechotzer. If somebody in a courtyard wants to open up a store, and that of course will cause more traffic of people walking in and out of this chotzer, Yachal Limches B'yodai. The halacha is that the people who live in that chotzer may say that we're not satisfied. And they could claim any yachalishain, we can't sleep. We call anachnasim kol hayotzim. The people who are walking out in and out of the chotzer, all these people who are walking in here are making noise to make that prevent us from being able to sleep. The Rashba says that what will be the halacha if the store was there from before? Can the people still say that we're not going to accept this? Moreover, he says, what happens if everybody gave permission for him to open up the store and then they said, we see that it's too difficult for us to be able to manage with the store here? So the Rashba says that this is actually a machlokes tanoim in the Yerushalmi, that the opinion of the Rabbanan is that once the neighbors gave permission for him to open up the store, the halacha is that remains the case and they can't back out. Shimon Gamliel says that even if permission was granted, if the people say, well, we thought it would be okay, and now we see that it's too difficult for us to be here, then the store is too problematic for us, they could back out. And Ritva says that our Mishnah seems to be following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that the people could make a point that we don't want to have the store here, even if they had granted permission. The Ritva, however, says the Ritva does want to make a number of points. One point that the Ritva suggests is only if they had not given express permission. It was only implicit permission when nobody said anything. But it could be in a case where they had given express permission, the halacha would be different. Moreover, he wants to suggest that maybe it's only in a case where it wasn't like this for many years. But for many years, they've been able to manage with the store there. To back out now would be unacceptable. However, Aval, says the Mishnah, Oysa Kalim, the person could work in his home, and then whatever he produced in his home, he could go out and sell. And none of his neighbors could say, I can't sleep, not because of the hammer that you're using to work with, not because of the mill, not because of the children. So the way most Rishonim explain that what the Mishnah is teaching us, that there's a difference, what is the basis of the neighbor's concern. If the neighbor's concern is because of people coming in and out, that's a legitimate concern. But if the concern is because of noise being created in the house, that people do things in their home. And since people do things in their home, one cannot stop that, because I need my home, and that's where I work, and that's where I produce and do whatever I have to do. So, of course, the question that comes up is what type of noise is acceptable, that the neighbors have to accept that type of noise, and what type of noise is unacceptable that one could say, that the neighbors could say, this is not an acceptable level of noise. So the Chashukei Chemed discusses this, and the Chashukei Chemed says that we learn in our Mishnah, as we just discussed, there's a difference between opening a store and people will come versus people versus the noise of producing something in your home. And the question is, what is the basis for this? So as we said, the Sma's opinion is that there's a difference between what you do in your own home versus people from the outside coming in. So the Nesivus, in explaining the Sma, goes back to the words of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch at Siman Kuf Nun Vav Sif Bei says, Chanush Shebechatzer, if somebody opens up a store in the Chatzer, Yechayel Meshchenem Limchais, V'loyma Eni Yechayel Melisha Mikal Nechnasim Mechal Yitzim, we can't, this noise makes, is a problem. Avam Hechsa Glasses Kain, continues the Shulchan Aruch, if the person had a Chazakah for this from previous years, as we mentioned, the halacha is a filum hechsek lasik, even if he has a chazaka. And the hechsek lasik would call the patash berchayim and a shechanim yichayel limchus. That means that they can't, the way we learn the Shulchan Aruch, is the Shulchan Aruch saying that if I've done it previously, you can't stop me. But if I haven't, you could tell me I shouldn't do it. The Ramah's opinion is that whatever I do in my home is acceptable. So we see a very fundamental difference in approach between the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch, points out the Nesivus. The Ramah says, whatever I do in my home is fine. The Shulchan Aruch is stricter. Another point that the Pesachei Tshuva makes, the Pesachei Tshuva says, I don't have to have my store here, but I do have to produce things, and I produce things in my home. So now the question is, what is going to be the halacha in different situations? He gives a number of examples. He says there's people that use a clothesline to dry their clothing, and they decide to dry their clothing in the middle of the night. And when they dry their clothing in the middle of the night, they use the clothesline, it creaks, it makes noise. So he says that he makes a very important point, that when we learn in our Mishnah, the kol ha-nechnosim, the kol ha-patish is acceptable, it's only in normal time. If somebody's doing something that is not considered the time where people normally hang up clothing, is not middle of the night, so therefore, the halacha will be that it's usur. On the other hand, let's say somebody takes a shower, and the shower makes noise that the next door neighbor or the downstairs neighbor will hear. So there he says that there it's much different. He says people take showers all of the time. And since they take showers all of the time, it's understandable that they make noise. A similar case would be as far as children crying, children playing, they do that all the time. But he does make a very interesting point. He says, even though children, that's what children do, they play. But let's say there's a neighbor who's not well, and this is bothers him when the children play. So he says that halachically, the neighbor cannot stop me from stop my children from playing. But he makes a very important point that there's another consideration, and that is a consideration of chinuch, the way we raise our children. And it's important that we should raise our children in a way that they should recognize that there are other people and that their concerns are important to our concern. So then he discusses a shaila where there's a home, there's a neighborhood, and there are people in the neighborhood that would like that they should make a bus stop in that neighborhood. And on the other hand, the people that don't want the bus, they don't want the noise that comes along with the neighborhood. So the question is, what is the halacha? And he establishes a rule. The rule that he establishes is that in all of these cases, the way to decide this halacha is to really look, is this common or uncommon? And maybe that's the rule even for what we do in our home. If we have in our home, it's normal that people take a shower. It's normal that children play. So that's when halachically you can't say anything. But if it's not such a situation, then maybe you have a right to say something. Similar question that comes up is, what about building a sukkah? So somebody wants to build a sukkah in the middle of the night when it's late, and it'll bother the other people. So the first consideration is the Minig HaMedina. Before Minig HaMedina, we have to look at what is the rules. Are there rules in this town about when you can make noise? And if there's rules, of course we have to follow whatever the rules are. We also have to follow the Minig HaMedina. And most people don't do building in the middle of the night. And therefore, since most people don't do building in the middle of the night, the halacha is we should not build a sukkah at that time. On the other hand, let's say somebody has an air conditioner, and the air conditioner makes noise, which disturbs the neighbors. What will be the halacha then? It seems that in those circumstances, the halacha would be, and the Pesach Tshuva says this very clearly, the Pesach Choshen from Rav Yaakov Bloizetzal says that an air conditioner is considered tashmish edira. It's considered what a person normally has in his home. And since it's considered normally what a person has in his home, so it's no different than the hammer. So, and it's on all the time. And therefore, one should be allowed to have an air conditioner on. He does make the point that one, and this is a point that we're going to keep on stressing, even when halachically it's permissible, one has to be very sensitive to their neighbors. Included in being sensitive with your neighbors is that even if halachically something is permissible, we should consider, should we really be doing this? A similar point can be made regarding an alarm. So the Paiskim say that it's acceptable to have an alarm system in your home, but it's your obligation to make sure that the alarm system that you have is working properly, and it shouldn't be a situation that the alarm keeps on going off and disturbs your neighbors. Begins the Gemara. So as we explained, Maishna Reisha or Maishna Sefer. Why in the Reisha do we learn that the neighbors can protest, and the Sefer, the neighbors may not protest? Omer Abaya, Sefer Asun L'chatz Acheres, that the Sefer speaking about in a different chatzar, and since it's talking about a different chatzar, then the halach is they cannot protest. Amalei Rava, says Rava, if that's the way you're going to learn Pshat in the Mishnah, Yochi list the b'chatz acheres mutter. The Mishnah should have said that in this chatzar it's also in the next chatzar it's mutter. Elam, Rava Seif Asno Tinakish Shabbos Rabbam. The Seif is coming to teach us that even though we're being strict about what you may do in your chatzar, for Tinakish Shabbos Rabbam, we could be lenient. Because B'takanas Rav Yeshua Ben Gamla Ve'elach, as we're going to learn the Takana of Rav Yeshua Ben Gamla, that at that point, as the Rishonim explain, that one could technically say, let them learn in the Beis Medrash, let them learn in the Beis HaKnesses, let them learn in the Yeshiva. The halacha is that we should be allowed to establish yeshivas and places where children learn wherever we want to. Damar Yehuda Marav, Baram Zoicha Ois Ish L'Toiv. We have to recognize the greatness of Yeshua Ben Gamla. Shemalehu Nishtakach Torah Yisrael. For not him, Klal Yisrael would have forgotten to learn. Shebetchilo, at the beginning, Mishiyesh Le'av, somebody who had a father. So his father, Melamdei Torah, was the one that taught him Torah. Umishayin Le'av, but somebody who unfortunately did not have a father. Le'olam Torah, there was nobody to teach him Torah. Maidrosh, what was the basis? Because the pasuk says, "V'lamadtem oisim es b'nechem l'dababom," and that pasuk was understood, "V'lamadtem atem," you should be the ones to teach your children Torah, and therefore only the father had that obligation. However, Hiskinu, at that point they instituted that they should have yeshivas in Yerushalayim, Maidrash. Why did they specifically make the yeshivas in Yerushalayim? Because they said, the pasuk says, and as many mefarshim explain, the success in learning is not just teaching the subject matter. A big part of the success in learning is the environment in which you learn and the Yerushalayim that you attain in your learning. And of course, Yerushalayim, with its high level of Kedusha, is the most appropriate place to reach that level. And that's why we know the halacha is that Maaseh Sheni is eaten specific in Yerushalayim. Why was that halacha established? The reason that halacha was established was because they knew that if people will have Maaseh Sheni, they'll have to be in Yerushalayim at least once a year. And by being in Yerushalayim once a year, they'll be able to absorb the Yerushalayim, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. And that's why that they originally had all the yeshivas in Yerushalayim. But now, continues the Gemara, V'dayin, we still have an issue. Misha Yeshlei Av Hayamaloi Umalamdai. So somebody who had parents, the parents took him to Yerushalayim, and that's where he learned Torah. However, Misha Yeshlei Av, somebody unfortunately did not have parents, Loyal of Alaymed. There was nobody to take him up to Yerushalayim to teach him Torah. Hiskinu Shem Meshivim B'kol Plach Plach. They established that they should have places of learning in every city, and Machnis Naisam, and they would start teaching the children Keben Tezayin, Keben Yedzayin, when they were 17 or 18 years old. V'mishay Rabbi Kaiselov, and if the Talmud wasn't learning well, Mavet Babi Yotze. What happened was, if the Talmud wasn't doing well with his Rebbe, so now the Talmud is already an adult. Once he's an adult, so he's old enough that he should say, I'm leaving. And that, of course, is something that we don't want to see. And therefore, Achabah Yeshub and Gamla, what Yeshub and Gamla established was V'tikin Shem Meshiv Melambe Tanoikot V'chol Medina Medina, that they should have yeshivas in every country, V'chol V'ir V'ir in every city, Machnis and Isai, and they begin teaching them Torah Keben Sheish Keben Sheva by 6 or 7. So even though the Mefarshim say, Tosfos points out, that we learn a Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei Mishnah Chaf Aleph, Ben Chamish Lemikra at 5, that's only for a child that's very strong and smart. Others were older. And the same, it says here, 6 and 7. Also, it depends on the child. Some children are more mature, and some are less mature. Another pshat that I saw, it's not only based on the age of the child, every child a different point is when we start teaching him Torah, but moreover, the style which we use, a younger child has to be taught in a more relaxed environment, not such a structured environment. Once they're older, they don't need such a structured environment, and they could be taught in a more structured environment. I saw that the Bnei Soscher points out that what we learn from here is that every town, every home should have a yeshiva, but it's much more than that, he points out. What we're actually learning here, he says, is that there's a rule that you have to have a yeshiva. And if somebody refuses to follow the rule, we could punish him. And it says that he was the Rav in Munkach at one point. And when he was a Rav in Munkach, he established that everybody has to contribute. It's not optional. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav makes the same point. The Shulchan Aruch Rav in Hilchas Talmud Torah speaks in a very strong fashion about the requirement. V'schar melam de tanoikus takanim chacham haisa. Paying rabbeim is a takanas chachamim lefroya mekupas akol to pay from the community fund. Bat kol atinoikus shabeir b'nei ashir v'neim yachad. Everybody has to make sure that the yeshivas are supported. V'achshav v'dinas elu noahagim. He says, now what happened is that they've established that everybody pays tuition. However, says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if there's someone who can't afford, the tzibur has to pay. And he continues saying, the anim could force the wealthy people to pay from the community fund. They could force each other. Everybody has an obligation to contribute to the communal fund for that there should be yeshivas. Here we're learning that because of the Tekanas Yeshuva and Gamla, we have a right to, everybody could establish a yeshiva wherever they want, and nobody could stop. And the question that the Chashuki Chemed discusses, that what's going to be the halacha if there's a bus, and somebody wants to give a shir on the bus, use a microphone, and there are other people on the bus who say, well, this is bothering them. What is the halacha? Do they have a right to say so? So he says that the halacha is that one can't stop them from learning Torah Barabim. He says it's included in this Gemara. And he tells us that he says there was a story that somebody was learning in yeshiva, and he was learning and it was bothering the neighbors of that yeshiva. And the Chazon Ish said that we cannot stop that boy from learning that, and on the contrary, it seems that the Chazon Ish's opinion was that that's the schus for the people who are the neighbors, that they should have a neighbor, they should have a yeshiva in the neighborhood. And I saw the Shalos Tshuvos Mishnah Halachos discusses if somebody learns in their home, and every night they learn in the home, and it wakes up the neighbors. He says that no neighbor has a right to complain. He says all the neighbors have to accept that noise. That's what is included in our Gemara of Tekanas Yeshuva ben Gamla. The Rav Hutner Zatzal points out our Gemara, as it begins to speak about Yeshuva ben Gamla, the Gemara says Baram Zoicha Ish L'Toiv. But what is the Baram supposed to mean? So he says that the truth is, as the Gemara says, v'leshinantam levanecha, v'lematam oisem espenechem, the real obligation is for a father to teach his son Torah. But we live in a world, as we learned, and not always could that be the case. But he explains what is unique and special about the Torah that's taught by a parent versus the Torah that's taught by anyone else. He says, When a father teaches his son Torah, it's done with love. There's the kerachem of abanim. There's no greater love than the love of a parent to a child. So what Rav Yeshuva ben Gamla saw is that parents are the best to teach children, but they're not always able to do that. So what we're supposed to do is take over the place of the parent. But Rav Hutner Zatzal said, the way you're supposed to take over the parent is the same way a parent teaches. Just like a parent teaches with love, a Rebbe is supposed to teach with love. And he's quoted the Sefer Atta L'Moshel, quotes a verse from the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav says that we all know the story when Yaakov came to the home of Lavan, and he saw that the shepherds were opening up the water, was feeding the animals, and it was too early. So he said, "Loi ha'es It's not the time to do so. And it's most interesting, asked the Panovich Rav. Here we have a stranger, Yaakov Avinu, showing up here. He's a stranger, and he's telling them what to do and what not to do. And they're supposed to accept whatever he says. And why would they even consider what he said? So the Panovich Rav said, because he used the word achai. When you say it that way, when you say achai, then it has a whole different perspective. And even the person who maybe wouldn't listen to you normally is now going to listen to you. He says there was once a story that Rabbi Aryeh Levine saw that somebody was stealing from a store. And he walked over to him and he said, Bani, my son, why are you stealing? And as soon as that person heard him use the word Bani, he heard that love that was being expressed. Since it was being expressed in that way, that's why he right away understood that he accepted what he was told. The love, the way we speak, and the Gra says, the pasuk that speaks about us admonishing other people says, "Hechiach techiach amisecha." Why does the Torah use the word amisecha? So explains the Gra, when you give musar, if the person to whom you're giving musar feels amisecha, that he's your friend, that you love him, that you're close to him, then he will listen to what you say. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Shelis, at shis lo tekabel, until a child is 6 years old, don't accept him to learn. He may not be ready for the structure of learning. Mekan ve'eloch, but once he's 6 years old, then the aloch is kabel, accept him, v'asle keturah, and give it to him like an axe. So there are many different pshatim. And actually the pshatim are almost extreme opposites. On one hand is that you should give it to him, force feed him. And the other pshat that I saw is the opposite, just give him a little at a time. Again, don't overburden the child. There's a tshuva from Ramosha Zatzal where he discusses how a Rebbe should teach his children Tamid Torah. It's in Yerodei Chelik Dalet Simen Lamed. One is that a Rebbe should not run his classroom in a way where he should have children speak about other children. That's not acceptable. Number two, he says, the way you accomplish learning Torah, punishment and of Torah should not come through Bittul Torah, where we won't learn today. That's not the way learning is not optional. Of course, he says, we have to avoid hitting children. Torah should be done, as we just finished explaining, it should be done in the most pleasant manner. And he says, somebody who hits a child, besides that the Isser of Chavala, the Isser, the one is not to hit another person, there's also another point to be understood, he said. When you act in such a manner, you're taking away the sweetness of Torah from that child. And if you take away the sweetness of Torah from that child, the damage cannot be reversed. And therefore, when we teach a child Torah, we have to take this all into consideration. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Shelis, Kimachas liyinuka, if you have to hit your child, Le'timcha el ba'akas namasana, hit him with a shoelace, which obviously is not very serious. The kari, the child who will take the message, will take the message, with the loy kari, and if he won't take the message, he won't be expelled from the yeshiva. Don't expel him. He should be there together with all the other talmidim in the yeshiva, and that will be a place for him. First of all, he may change, and number two, we should not create an option that not being in yeshiva is an option. Meisvei asked the Gemara. We're learning now that one cannot ask a neighbor not to open up a yeshiva. Ask the Gemara. If somebody wants to be a doctor, a uman, is a bloodletter, Vigardi, a weaver, or Malamatanekis, B'nai Chotzer, Makrinolov. Here it clearly says that the other people in the Chotzer can stop him. Answers the Gemara, so we see that you can't just make a yeshiva wherever you want. Answers the Gemara, Hochemai Skinen, what are we speaking about here? We're speaking about here, when we're not teaching Jewish children. We're not teaching Jewish children Torah, then the halacha is, of course, very different. And I saw the same would be for teaching secular studies. It's strictly Torah that we have that the halacha is we have a right to make wherever we want. There is a question that I saw that the Tzitz Eliezer discusses. If somebody wants to open up a medical office in a building, so the Tzitz Eliezer discusses, can his neighbors prevent him? So he says that a pidin, they have a right, even though healing sick people is a big mitzvah, the halach is, but they're not always coming in a situation where it's sakonas nefashis. There are all types of different situations. So the halach is that the neighbors cannot prevent him. He says, but he makes a very interesting point. And that's part of the point that we mentioned when we spoke about the Shulchan Aruch Rav earlier. He says, what's the reason why somebody can make a yeshiva wherever he wants? The reason you can make a yeshiva wherever you want goes back because everybody in the community has an obligation to help the people should learn Torah. So when a yeshiva is opening up in my building, it's really because I can't protest because I really have an obligation to teach that boy Torah just as much as the person who opened up the yeshiva. And therefore he suggests, when it comes to medical office, every one of us has to do whatever we can to help somebody learn Torah, to get well. And therefore maybe it should be allowed. Toshma, ask the Gemara, Shnaim Shiyosh Mechatzar, if there are two people that live in one chotzer, or bikish echemem lasis roif of umen, gardi umalametinokus chaveroi malakov alav. So you see again that you can't be forced to be allowed to open up a yeshiva. The neighbors could protest. Answers the Gemara. Hachinami, we're speaking about tinokus david kachavim. Toshma, mishesh loy bayis b'chatzar shutfim. Somebody owns an apartment in a multi-family dwelling. Harez loy iskrenu. We can't rent it out to any of these people. So we see here that two seferim. One is sefer Yehudi, sefer Amoy. Presumably, sefer Yehudi is the person who's teaching Jewish children Torah, and sefer Amoy is teaching non-Jewish children. So we see that even for Jewish children, it can be prevented. Answers the Gemara. Sofer Masa is not the Rebbe. The Rebbe cannot be prevented from opening up yeshiva. Here it's speaking about the person who is in charge of the entire yeshiva. And what the Gemara is saying, and he's just the administrator. So since he's only the administrator, but there isn't actually, the way most Rishonim learn, so there isn't actual Torah learning in his apartment, that's why the neighbors could prevent. That's one approach. The other approach is that even though we're learning how neighbors cannot prevent other neighbors from opening up a yeshiva, that's only when it's not going to be very busy, very noisy. When you have a sofer d'masa, we'll have such a large group of talmidim, that could perhaps be too much to expect of the neighbors. Amar Rava. We don't take children to go from one city to another city to learn Torah. It's not healthy for the children to have to go from city to city, but to go from one place in the city to another place in the city is acceptable. However, if to go from one place to another place, mafsik nara, it involves going over a river. Now there's already a question of sakana, passing over the river, aloy mamtinen. Vehicle to tutra, but if there's a bridge over the river, mamtinen. Vehicle gamla, but if it's only a narrow, shaky bridge, aloy mamtinen, we don't make the children travel over such a bridge. Vama rava, sach mikre tardiki. How many students should be learning by a Rebbe? Esr v'chamesh yinuka, 25. V'ech chamishin, if there are 50 students, mesvin and trey, we should have two rabbeim. V'ech arboim, what happens if we have 40 talmidim? So it's not enough for one Rebbe, but it's too much for one Rebbe, but not enough for one Rebbe. What do we do? Makminin reish tuchna, and we take an assistant, umasailam, to help the Rebbe. And again, as we learned earlier, umasailam mimasa, it's the obligation of the people who live in the town to pay for this. There are many different approaches. What are the numbers? So the Taisus explains that up to 25 Talmidim, the halacha is that you have to have a Rebbe, but you don't necessarily, according to Taisus Pshat, have to force the town to pay. If there are 25 students, the town doesn't have to support a yeshiva. For 25 on, they have to support a yeshiva, and not only do they have to pay support a yeshiva, they have to pay for an assistant. And then, at 50, they have to pay for two Rebbes. But many Rishonim disagree with Taisus, Rabbeinu Yonah, Ramban, Rajba, and they say that even if there are only two or three Talmidim, a city has to have a yeshiva if the parents want it, and the community has to support that yeshiva. And what the Gemara here is strictly speaking about how many students per Rebbe. Vamarava, hi mikriya yinuki degarus. You have a Rebbe who teaches. Vik achrina degarus tfeimine. And there's a Rebbe who is better. Loimus al kinalei. We should not remove the first Rebbe. Dima osel shruli. What will happen is we'll replace the Rebbe with the new Rebbe. And then the new Rebbe will become arrogant by saying, you see, I'm such a great Rebbe, then that they removed him to give me the job. And therefore, he won't be successful anyway. Rav Dimi min hada amar, koshke in the garz tfei. No, even if we take the second Rebbe in the place of the first Rebbe, the second Rebbe recognizes that he may be removed as well. And therefore, he's going to be careful to do his job well. And that's exactly what we want to accomplish, because kinna seifrim tar b'chacham, that type of competition, the Gemara is good. So, of course, many mefarshim discuss how do we in any way support kinna. Kinna is not part of our culture. So they explain that when the Gemara here says, Kinasai from Tarba Chachma, what it means is that when people are not jealous of each other, what they're jealous of learning from the other person what he knows to do well. Kinasai from, when I see how somebody else does his job and does his job well, and I use that to learn how to do that, I should do my job better, then that's the kinna seifrim, that's wonderful. But of course, if it's not that way, then the halacha is that's not the way to grow in learning. Another pshat that I saw from the Panim Yafis, he says, when it says here kinna seifrim tarba chachma, it means that what is the goal of my kinna? If the goal of my kinna is for tar b'chochma, if the goal of my kinna is for, not for myself, but it's to be able to teach more people Torah, that's an acceptable kinna. Any other type of kinna is unacceptable. V'amarav hani trei mikri tadiki. If there are two rabbeim, chad gars v'loidayik, one teaches them much Torah, but he's not careful. V'chad daik v'loigaris, But one teaches that is very careful in what he teaches them, but he doesn't teach that much. We take the Rebbe who teaches them more. They may end up making errors. Ultimately, those errors will be corrected. Rav Divin Adama, no. We prefer to take the Rebbe who is careful to teach them correctly. Because once they become accustomed to the mistake, it doesn't leave them. And the Gemara brings a story, the Ksiv. The Pasuk says that David sent Yoav to battle with Melech Edom. And the Pasuk says, Kisheshes Chadoshim Yeshushem Yavod, V'chol Yisrael HaHechris, at the end of the war, Yoav comes to report to David that he successfully completed the war. And he asked him, "My time of the tachi, why did you do this, that you only killed the males and not the females?" So Yoav responded, because the Pasuk says, "Timcha is Zachar Amalek." Now we know the Pasuk doesn't say Timcha is Zachar Amalek. The Pasuk says Timcha as Zechra Malik, but he was taught wrong. Amalei v'anon zocha kareinan. Amalei anon zecha kareinan. Anon zecha v'anon zecha kareinan. It's not zocher, it's zecher. So he says, my Rebbe taught me zocher, that zocher kareinan, that we only have to kill the males. Also shayla le Rebbe. So Yoav went to ask his Rebbe, exactly how did you teach it? Amalei hecha kareinan. What did you teach us? Amalei. So he says, Zecher Amalek, Shakos of Siril Amikdalei. He took out a sword to kill him. Amalei, Amai, why do you want to kill me? Amalei, Diksiv, Ora Osim Alech Hashem Remiyah. You did it wrong, because you taught a Zecher when it's Zecher. Amalei, Shafke Hogav Delekim Ma'aro. So they told him, he said to him, leave me. Amalei, so Yoav said to him, Ksiv, Ora Menei Charba Medam. If you're chayiv misa, I have an obligation to kill you. Ikadamri, and therefore some say katle, he exercised what he had to do and he killed him. And others say loy katle, that he left him. Vamarava mikra yinuka, somebody who teaches children Torah, shasless, somebody who is a sharecropper, who we discussed quite extensively when we learned Masechta Baba Metzia, a tafcha, a shayfchit, omna is somebody who is a bloodletter, safa maser, the cipher, kulan kumusrim v'amdaninu. In all situations, people are given warning before they let go. In these jobs, there is no warning. Call the misna. The rule is, kop seid de lehadar. Whenever we have a type of a situation where the mistake that's made, whenever we have a situation that a mistake that's made is irreversible, if somebody ate non-kosher meat, or somebody didn't do the medical procedure properly, these are all irreversible. The halacha is musar v'aymerhu. And if they don't do their job properly, they could be let go. They don't do the job properly, they cannot be repleted. So Mefarshim make a very powerful point here. And they say that in the case of a Rebbe, we just learned that the Gemara, that the opinion of Rava was Shebeshtem Emela Nafik, that if a person makes a mistake, it can be corrected. So why is the Gemara saying that it's irreversible? And the Mefarshim explain that even if we'll say that it's reversible, that mistake can be reversed, the one thing that cannot be reversed, and that is the time. The time that was lost, that where the person learned the wrong way, and now he has to take the time over, and now he has to spend time to correct that mistake, that is not reversible. And that's why such a person has to be removed. If somebody who lives in an alleyway to put up a mill, now the Gemara begins to discuss competitive situations, and somebody put up another mill, a mill in that mavi. I could stop you. Damalei, because you could say, you're causing me that I should have loss with this competition. Says the Gemara Lema Masailei, we could bring a riot to this. The Braisa teaches us, people who are out catching fish, one person could be separated from the other person, Kamale Ritzis Adag, the amount that that fish swim together. And how much is that? Kama is that? Amra Papa Bar Rafuna Parsa. So we see that we could tell you that you shouldn't compete with me. Says the Gemara, Shani Hosum the Yav Saira. There it's different. What happens is that the people go fishing, put out food, and that causes that the fish should swim towards me. And therefore, if you're going to do that, you're taking away fish that were supposed to be mine. A store is differently. Amalei Ravina LaRava, Lema Rafuna Dama Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda taught us. That not Rabbi Yehuda Imer, Leichalik Anvani Kloyus, one store should not give out roasted wheat, that goizim and nuts to Tinoikis, Neshagilan Atzloi, that they cause that the children will want to buy in that store. The Chum Matirim. So we see that there's a machlokes about competition. Says the Gemara, Fil Teim Rabbonin. Rav Huna could be consistent with Rabbonin. At Kanloi Pligi Rabbonin Alei Rabbi Yehuda Hossam. Where do we have a machlokes Rabbonin Rabbi Yehuda? Ela da Omele, Anokam Afliga Mguzi, At Pluga Shiuski. You're giving out this type of candy to attract the children? You give out a different type. Avahocha, Afil Rabbonin Maida. In the case where we both have the identical thing, the Rabbonin Maida Domele Kupsakta L'chayusei, you're stopping me from being able to have Parnosa, and therefore I can tell you not to open here. But as we get into this discussion, it's important to say over a story that happened in Bnei Brak in the time of the Chazon Ish. At the time of the Chazon Ish, of course, Bnei Brak was not such a big developed town, and there was one printer in the town of Bnei Brak. And anybody who wanted to have something printed had only one place to go. One day, somebody else opens up a competition, another printing shop, right across the street from the existing one. On the first day that this person, this competitor, opened the store, the person who had the store till now comes and knocks on his door. He says, I want to come in. He was certain that he's coming in to complain, how dare you open a store competition with me? He says, no, I came to tell you exactly how to run your business. And he looks at him and he says, why would you do that? Wouldn't you really be upset with me that I opened up a competition to you and now you're coming to help me? So he says, every Jew is supposed to believe the Mezunos of Shel Adam, that our Panasa is Ketzuvim Lahem Rosh Hashanah, that our Panasa is predetermined already on Rosh Hashanah. So whatever I'm supposed to earn, I'm going to earn. And that, it doesn't make a difference. He said, till now, given that I was the only printer in town, anybody who needed to have any printing done had to come to me. And if they had to come to me, I was busy all the time with all the printing invitations, svarim, whatever. Now that there's going to be somebody else in town, my panosa, he says, you will not affect. Because whatever panosa I'm supposed to have, that panosa I don't have from you. That panosa I have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the panosa I'm going to have no matter what. The only difference is now I won't have to work so hard because there's going to be someone else who's going to also be involved in printing. And therefore, I want you to be successful. That is the attitude, that is the proper attitude that one should have towards competition. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, on the opinion of Huna, the Braisa says, "Ois adam chanutz b'tzad chanutz shchaveroi. I could open up a store right next to your store. Merchet b'tzad merchet shchaveroi, a bathhouse. Ve'ene yochol lemchus biyada. You can't stop me. Nes yochol lemalei ata ois b'toich shulcha. You should do whatever you want to do in your store, Vani Isa, and I will do whatever I need to do in my store. So we see from this braisa that you are allowed to open up a competition. Answers the Gemara, actually it's Machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, the braisa says, Koifim b'nei Moza Zu, the people that live in one alley, Shlei Lahosh b'nei Loi Chayit v'Loi Burski, v'Loi Mlam Tanoikis, v'Loi Echem v'Bali Numnis, the people could demand that nobody could come, that you should not rent out a store in this Mavi to somebody who is in a competition. L'shchenehu, but if somebody already lives here and he wants to open up a competition, Einu Kafeyu can't stop him. Rav Shimon Gamliel, I'm a af l'shchenehu Kafeyu. So we see from here that the opinion that holds that you could prevent competition is the opinion of Rav Shimon, is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, and that's the machlokes. Under what circumstances may you open competition or may you not? Of course, the Paiskim say that even in a case that you're allowed to open up competition, it has to be done in an honest way. So, for example, if you worked for somebody else and you learned all about this business from that individual, and now you're going to take the trade secrets that you learned and you're going to take the connections that you had and you use that to build your business, that's not called honest competition, and that's not something that you're allowed to do. On the other hand, as our Gemara said, everybody is allowed to do something to increase business. And just because I do things to increase my business, you're allowed to do whatever you need to do to increase your business, and you can't stop it. Also, a very important point, it depends. Sometimes there's no issue in opening up that type of a business. And since there's no issue of typing that type of a business, because there's enough for both of us, let's say somebody opens up the child care and there are plenty of children, then there's no issue. What about if somebody was not supposed to open up such a business? The halacha is that one should not l'chatchila go to buy in that store, but the halacha is that if you did go buy in that store, the halacha is that technically it's mutter. On the other hand, the Cheshuki Chemed has a very interesting question. He says, if a patient was sent by a doctor to a different doctor to get a second opinion, and now the patient decides that he wants to stay with that second doctor, may the second doctor treat that patient, or should he say, well, you only came to me because of the first doctor, and it's not correct that I should now be your doctor? And he says that since the halacha is loy mikol adam zoichel l'srapis, a person, not every doctor is successful with every patient. A patient has to be comfortable with the doctor who's treating him. And if this patient feels that this is the right doctor for him, then he should go to the doctor that he thinks is the right doctor for him, even though it was the first doctor who sent the patient to the second doctor.